You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, everybody? It's a brand new episode of Off Book presented to you by Broadway Black. We're here to hit our mark. I'm going to do it right now. I'm Drew Shade.
I'm Donye Love, y'all.
Oh, shit. I get to introduce myself.
Yeah,
I'm Chris, the engineer. That's it.
What's going on, everybody? We in the building. We got my nigga back in the building. At least I got some comfort, some peace with my nigga in the building.
Hey, now.
What's been going on?
You know, same old, just being a nigga. Just being a nigga, every chance I get, that ain't never gonna change.
You know, it's probably some people that don't listen to the show because we say nigga all the time.
I can believe it. Like,
some people really do not like that. Like, yeah, I've been coming across more and more people that have been adamant about, like, not calling them a nigga and not using the word nigga around them. And it's like, well, nigga, you can say what you want to say, but so can I. So you're going to hear these niggas.
I've had
you're going to get these niggas.
So many conversations. Well, not so many, but I have, like, more than enough conversations of, like, people not so much wanting to challenge me, but just really trying to understand, like, why I feel so affirmed and, like, find comfort in the word nigga. I've
why
had
do
people.
You?
And so for me, nigga obviously stems from nigger, right?
Right.
And like us as black people, as a very concentrated group of black people, being able to take ownership like over that word and it being something that truly belongs to us, like in a world and like a day and age where there are so many things that do not belong to us, like that word, that thing belongs to us. For me, it brings me joy. For me, it brings me comfort. For me, whenever I hear that word from someone who looks like me, like I know I'm in a safe space. Like I know this is a space of people. This is a group of people who may have a similar lived experience. And I feel okay and I feel affirmed in that space. Now, the times where I do check myself and I question if I should and if I will say the word, and most times when I'm in the presence, physical presence of like these folks, I don't. And it's when I'm with my elders. Because I do know they have a completely
different relationship
with the word, 100%. And then I know there are some elders who will be niggering it up in a heartbeat. They will nigger this, nigger that, nigger that. Mm-hmm. But then I know there are some who really find so much disgust in the word. But I often have to check that. I remember last year, I was a part of something and I was just talking about the work that I do. And my line always with my work is, I write about my niggas. I write about how much I love my niggas, about how much they love themselves. And like, that's my, entry point into my work. And I was saying this, in front of, an older black man. And he was like, no, don't say that. Don't use that word. And already have an idea of where the conversation was going. I asked him why. And he said, whenever you use that word, it gives them permission to use it, especially whenever we aren't around. So already for me, I was like, oh, absolutely not. Because what you're doing is you're centering whiteness into the equation.
Right.
If you were talking about because of like our history with the word, then I could 100% understand that. But you don't want me to use the word because you feel as though it's going to give white people permission to use the word. And right. I was not for that 100%.
Yeah, no.
So what's up, my niggas? I'm back. How y'all feel? How y'all been?
You know.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're back.
Yeah, it was supposed to be, what, like 5 or 6 weeks I was gone, but then I did a little sneak attack on that ass, and I came up through that one episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, now I'm back here.
Good.
How you feel?
I'm here. I don't even know why I got these headphones on. I can't even hear nothing in here.
Chris, I got you.
Is it even turned up?
I got you. Yeah, keep talking.
Just I'm good. I'm here. I'm alive, good. I guess, you know.
What does I'm here mean?
I'm breathing. Mm-hmm. And I say that often. I can't hear shit in here. I don't know if these have... Why, it's on mute? Oh, okay, there we go.
Oop, it got loud for me.
Did it?
There we go.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm breathing. I'm alive. I say that often because it's the truth, because I could not be here.
Mm-hmm.
Some days I don't want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I made it here. Like, I literally have not left my house since the last time I had to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just in one of those lulls right now. And so, yeah, that's what I mean. I'm here. I think I can handle this space. I can handle this where I am. I think what now in doing work that, in doing work on myself and trying to heal whatever is, all the things that are going on, I am just trying to remain here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm fine. Like, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I was telling you earlier that the thing that I think bothers me the most is that I know that this is not going away. Like, mm-hmm.
This being
the emotional roller coaster that I live.
Mm-hmm.
The dynamics of my brain and my body,
mm-hmm.
Will always be up and down this way. And so it's mm-hmm. a lot of times it paralyzes me, to even start when I am feeling well, to even, try to pick back up the dreams and aspirations that I do have, even when I'm not, even when I am doing well, simply because of the fact that I know that it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, right. I know that the storm will come again.
Right.
So what's the point of even trying to, begin again and start again and pick things back up when I am going to be paralyzed again? You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I've tried to attribute it to fear. I've tried to attribute it to so many different other things, and it's really not even that. It's not even fear anymore. I've been through, I think, so many different things that I'm no longer fearful, but I am just simply tired.
Mm-hmm.
Worn.
Yeah. Just let me say this to everybody listening, so I can know where we are, and I'd be like, what the fuck is going on? What the fuck am I listening to right now?
Right.
And so before we started this episode, as you can tell, we're just Drew and I and our nigga Chris. We were talking about mental health. We were talking about emotional health. We were talking about the podcast, and we were talking about how the podcast can influence our mental and emotional health, and just what are the dynamics and the circumstances around an episode happening. And I felt like we were really getting into some essential conversations when, before we even started to record, we were talking about this. And I said, why don't we just have this episode be a very honest conversation? Because you all, in my opinion, and I'm sure Drew's opinion and Chris's opinion as well, you all as listeners are so faithful. You all are, in my opinion, on kind of one accord with us. So I said, why don't we just have a very honest conversation so that our listeners can be made privy just to where we are, to what's going on. And so that's what this episode is right now, what it very well may be. We may or may not get into talking about shows and theater and this and that, but where we are right now, we're just talking about where we are in life, what's going on, and why some episodes have been lacking some of us and not, and all of those things, just what's going on overall, like, in our lives. And to what you were just talking about, Drew, I remember it was earlier this summer I heard this, and it's so interesting. I wrote about it earlier today in my IG story, just thinking about, like, trauma And I remember hearing that trauma, whatever type of trauma it is, whether it's emotional trauma, whether it's mental trauma, whether it's spiritual trauma or physical trauma, like trauma will live in our bodies, right? Mm-hmm. And the only way for trauma to be able to be released is for us to give it an outlet, right? So like if it's a like physical trauma, like what is that thing that we need to do to be able to release the physical trauma? Is it being able to like heal the wound? Is it with like rubbing alcohol? Is it with like a Band-Aid? Is with physical therapy? If it's like emotional, mental, or spiritual trauma, I firmly believe that the way that we are able to release that is to be able to talk about it, right? Is to be able to hold and have conversations. And like, I just remember, I will never forget why, in my opinion, our relationship is so strong. Is back in 2014, this is right around and especially right after MDBG, a nigga went through a serious bout of depression. I don't even know if I told you this, but when we were in the middle of our Kickstarter for MDBG, I tried to commit suicide. And I was just in such a very dark place. And Brandon, my amazing husband, he never really had to navigate through depression in such a way at the time. So he was there, but it was but so much he could be there. Versus with you and with what you were going through and what you went through, you were somebody who I was able to talk through and to be able to like literally release that trauma from my emotional space, from my mental space, from my spiritual space. And so I say all that to say how I've learned how crucial it is to be able to talk things through, to be able to get things out. And like where you are right now, just hearing you just talk about like where you are and you being and you talking about making the decision to be like, look, I could have stayed my black ass home, because some motherfuckers stayed their black asses home today. But you made the decision to wake your ass up, to get out of bed and to come here. And not just not put a smile on your face, but to be very honest, like this is where I'm at right now. This is why I'm here right now. I don't know how I'm going to get out of it, but I know I'm here. And that's that. And like, I think that already is a step in a direction towards healing, towards whatever that joy, that peace, that love looks like for you. And for that, I'm incredibly grateful and excited for what that next side looks like. And where you are right now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, thank you. I'm excited too. I mean, I guess I can't really say I'm excited because I don't feel excited. Mm-hmm. But I would like to feel something other than what I feel now.
Yeah.
I often feel like a broken record on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I have, and I can always tell too, like last week, I did not want to be here last week. I really felt like I just needed a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I even listened to the show last week, and we had a great time. You know, I enjoyed the company of the
Kim and Shakur.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Kim and Shakur. And but it just, I didn't show up and put my best foot forward. I don't like how I've been showing up to this show.
Mm-hmm.
How
have you been showing up to the show, in your opinion?
I mean, scattered.
Mm-hmm.
I've been very scattered. I think that comes out on the show. I think that it's very evident that I am sometimes in a manic state. And I don't feel like I come and show up prepared like I would like to be.
Mm-hmm.
Due to several different elements. And so I desperately want to change that and set in place a standard here. Mm-hmm. I think that it's sort of been lost. Even, you know, mainly for myself. For how I speak about things, for how I approach things. Because I gather myself a lot of times too. As much as people hear me say other things about other people, I gather myself 10 times more. and I ran across something that said something along the lines of, you know, it's one thing to just, you know, tell it like it is, you know, just be able to tell the truth and say you're just telling the truth. But how are you showing up and telling the truth? You have a responsibility because having a voice means that there's a responsibility in order to in the platform that you have. And, you know, it sort of gathered me, like, because I have not been showing up in a way that has been affirmative for life, for people. You know, I have not been an affirmative. I'm very much so, like, and I even said this, and I caught myself saying this to Ken, Matt, and Shakur last week, that, you know, hey, I come in and I say some crazy stuff. I've been sort of like a contrarian on this show. And I thought, is that who I would like to be? Just, you know, for sensationalism's sake, to have something to talk about, to have something, some type of spark, some type of energy going, to get something happening, to sensationalize the people. Is that who I would like to be? Just to grab on to grasping straws, just to find anything to sensationalize, is that who I would like to be? You know, am I that person? And I only, in talking about those things and getting to the root of that, I only find myself being that way when I do not like myself, when I don't feel great about myself. That's no place to, like, that's no place to live. You know what I mean? That's no zone to be in. You know, some shit is just funny. Like, some shit is just funny. You know what I'm saying? Like, some shit is just going to be funny. Some things just aren't, you know what I mean? And sometimes I forget, sometimes that I fall back into a comfortability of leading with my wound instead of my heart. And I be feeling bad about that shit. Like, I be feeling horrible about that shit.
About, like, some of the things that, like, you say and how you kind of navigate
how I show up
hair.
In the world. Yeah, taking responsibility for the energy that I bring into the space. And it has nothing to do with anybody else but me. You know what I mean? And so I try to get a grasp on all of that, get a grasp on myself. But that takes me out of the game. Like, that takes me out of developing or creating or being or showing up, trying to get a handle on those things. And then when I do recover and show up, sometimes it's difficult for me to keep going. And I fall back into those places. And it's now gotten to a point where I feel like I've, where I feel like I've done that so many times. I've been in such a cycle with that where it's like, why even try when I'm getting the same, I'm keep falling back into the same space.
And so you said that you find yourself when you're here sometimes, here being in this studio, recording off book, when you're in a certain space, you can find yourself being, you said, manic. You can find yourself being like playing the like a contrarian. You can find yourself sometimes saying, for the lack of a like better word, like mean things, like about certain subjects or people or whatever the case may be. Like, you find yourself showing up in that way when you're in the space that you're navigating through right now. What is the way? How do you want to show up, like, outside of that space? And I know it might sound like such a, like, simple, duh, Danye, like, I already know the answer way, but it goes back to, like, what I was just talking about of, like, speaking things and, like, naming things and, like, how important words are and putting things to the atmosphere. And also, like, I don't want to, like, put anything on you, right? Like, I want for you to be able to say and to like declare what is like the space that you want to be in, and like how do you ideally want to show up outside of the things that you talked about when you're in this current space right now.
I would like to show up like the boss bitch that I am. The boss motherfucker that I know that I am, that I always have been. Mm-hmm. It's only been these past couple of years where I've just been in such a dynamic place with my mental health, and uncovering, childhood trauma and sort of reparenting myself and trying to figure out what that means for me, that I've been going through this transition, but that has affected my work because in showing up to this particular field and showing up into what it is that I would have to do, I have to sacrifice a lot. And a part of that was sacrificing who I was and also sacrificing who I am, but then in the same breath, trying to discover who I am. Mm-hmm. I can't be suffocated on one side and still trying to breathe out the other side. You know what I mean? Like it just wasn't working for me.
It makes things difficult. Having to navigate in that and
in
that
a space. Yeah, where you're not secure in who you are. Mm-hmm. I wasn't secure in who I was. I also was not sure on what avenue I wanted to go down. And so there was a lot of sacrificing in there and trying to discover, which I'm okay with because I made those decisions. You know what I mean? I'm okay with that. I'm okay with, you know, where I landed. I'm okay with that. But what I'm not okay with is how I have shown up at times. I mean, I just plain and simple, I'm just not okay with, and I don't want it to happen again. I don't want it to be a consistent cycle. Mm-hmm. So, and talking about it, it allows me to set motion, but I didn't even go see, my friend, you know, Bossy, who was on the show before. She just released a book. And I talked about it last week. I was supposed to go to her
book signing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I didn't make it, and I feel horrible about that.
And so you said you want to like go back to exist in like the boss bitch that you know you are, right?
Yeah,
and,
like and, I just, I mean I don't I I'm trying to form the words without proclaiming something over myself. I've had a difficult time finding the energy to show up in a space where I don't necessarily feel good about. I don't know how to explain it.
I get it. And I go back to bringing up this boss bitch because I'm really curious of like, if you had to give three traits of like who this boss bitch is and why you want to go back to this boss bitch, like what are those three traits? What are those three characteristics that make up a boss bitch for Drew Shade?
Charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
Accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And responsible.
Mm-hmm. So like,
I have not been those things in a long time. I just haven't been able to show up for myself, let alone anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to. That's just what I would like to. Even me, you know, I make it difficult for me to show up for myself sometimes. I make it difficult for other people to show up for me. I think other people make it difficult for me to show up for them.
That's a word too.
Yeah,
that's a real
like,
word.
I think we make it difficult on each other. I think there's so much that we're fighting in this world, and the value that we place on ourselves and those that look like us, in trying to fight in a world that wasn't created by us. Is is heartbreaking every day. Mm-hmm. It breaks my heart every day to I think that I'm mourning, and I've been doing this for a while, I think that I've been mourning letting go of dreams that I've had as a kid. Mm. Certain things that I've viewed in a certain way and letting go of some of those dreams because the dream doesn't match the reality. Mm-hmm. And not saying that I can't create the dream, but I think that my dreams have morphed along with this industry. And like any other industry that people work in, I think that as you know, the person that I've always been, I think that I've attached myself to a certain idea mm-hmm. of how I wanted things to go. And when I don't get my way, or when those things don't pan out that way, that it's a funeral for me. Mm-hmm. It is a fall over the casket. I'm dramatic as hell. Mm-hmm. Like, it is a funeral for me when things don't pan out. And I take it really hard. I take it really personally. So like, even just with this show, if I plan for something to happen for the show and then somebody cancels or something happens or things don't go and how I need them to go, or things that I feel disrespected, I feel mm-hmm. I feel unappreciated, and it's always to the extreme, but that's how I've been. So I'm trying to become more emotionally mature mm-hmm. in realizing what people do is not always a reflection on me. However, mm-hmm. Sometimes it does feel like a reflection of me because of our people's perception of who I am. And that's what sort of begins that sort of cycle. It was like, well, people don't, I haven't been accountable. I haven't been responsible because of my mental health for some time. And I think that I've been very open about that. And so in being that open with that, I think that there are things that the perception of me or maybe things that I'm attached to are all not accountable, are all just like, oh, flimsy, you know, mm-hmm. like not consistent. So I can be not consistent, too. I don't know. Maybe it's all these ideas mm-hmm. swirling around in my brain. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And so here's a few things. One is, and so we're talking about all of this, y'all who are listening right now. Again, just really want to have like a very honest conversation of like where we are, what's going on. And then also like knowing that we are not the only ones, right? Like, I am sure that there are some listeners right now who may be navigating through some form of like trauma of their own, anxiety, depression, stress, worry, whatever it may be. Like, someone out there right now is also navigating through some things, right? And so we just wanted to honor that within ourselves and then hold space to be able to like honor that for you as well. And so like, that's why this episode is given what it's given right now. And then also, in terms of what, you were just talking about, Drew, and I know, and Nick is going to sound like a broken record with like a lot of things. I just always find myself thinking about like, this is, and by this, I'm talking about life, like it is a journey, right? And like, there are always going to be moments and there are always going to be times where shit will not always be easy. And it's like figuring out what is that step that will help us get to not just the next day, what is that step that's going to get us to the next second? Because it is literally always a second by second thing. We're literally 1 second, we could be feeling like the king of the world, and mm-hmm. then the next second could be like, how the fuck did I get here? Mm-hmm. How did I get here? I didn't think I would be here again. And it's just like figuring out like, what are those actionable steps to help us get to a softer place? And I think about this summer, why I was away for so long. As y'all know, I was working on my play Soft, and I learned through the grace of God that that is not just a play. Like, that is truly a way of living, and it is every day making a choice of being soft with ourselves. And like, what does that look like? Because we are conditioned and prone to be incredibly hard on ourselves, especially when you throw in marginalized identities as like Black men, as queer men, for me as an HIV positive man, and so many other identities. We are prone to being hard on ourselves, where we have to, if we're queer men, we have to be the best possible passing straight man to be able to survive, right? As Black men, we have to be able to do exactly what we need to do in order to survive. And that shit is incredibly exhausting, it's draining, it's tiring, and we're being so hard on ourselves. And I believe it's when we get into these hard spaces, sometimes it's us being given an opportunity to figure out how to navigate through to be softer with ourselves. And I know this is probably going to sound so cliche as well. When I think about, you were talking about, it's like heartbreak and breaking, I find myself thinking about, and this is me having to gone through some shit to get to a place to be able to think this way, of when I think about being broken, I think about so many pieces. And I think about us having an opportunity to be able to see ourselves in a completely different way. When we have like the fullness of ourselves, a complete whole, that's beautiful. We get to see ourselves whole. But when we're broken, we get to see so many pieces and really evaluate, oh, I actually don't need this piece anymore. Oh, I don't need this piece anymore. So I'm going to build myself back up into a new whole of what I actually do need, or what will help me navigate through. So I think about like all of those things and understanding that it is a journey, because in this moment I may be whole, but then the next moment I may be completely broken again. And then the next moment I may be whole, then I may be broken again. And I think that's the thing that's also so frustrating, and it can be like tiring about the process, because like we don't know where we are. But I've learned, for me, what is so vital in this journey is community. I think about people like you, Drew. I think about Brandon. I think about so many people in my life that when I am broken, that I can be able to talk to. I think about like my therapist. I think about deeply and just like hold on to God like in these moments. And then I also think about God bless me with the people who I just named to also to be able to talk to kind of like navigate through to get to whatever that next step is, to get to a better, fuller Danye. And also, I want to share with you all, the viewers, is another reason like why we are talking about this, of just keeping it 100% real, of as much as we love off book and give ourselves to it, there can be times when off book may feel like it can be exhausting and like it can be draining, just in the overall process of the behind the scenes of getting to an episode, of being able to like structure it, of being able to have guests, of being able to have ourselves here. Because like, as we know, we can plan and plan and plan, but things do not always turn out the way they're supposed to. And like, that adds to the like frustration, that adds to the possible like mental and like emotional negative spaces. And that's, again, a reason why I was like, I definitely think we should have a real dope conversation for this episode about like what's going on, where we are. And as much as we love off book, about how like sometimes that also can factor in, and like how do we navigate through when things get tricky and like real like muddy, to still be able to come in here, to have a popping ass episode, to have joy, and still be intact, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It sounds easy.
Yeah. And like, that's the thing that's so like, damn, bitch, easy. It sounds easy. Yeah, but why can't it be easy?
Yeah, it sounds real easy.
Mm-hmm.
I think I remember somebody writing me and telling me it's real easy to get behind this mic and talk about, you know, other people and their work, but it's harder to do the work. But that's the thing that I'll be talking about. Like,
mm-hmm.
just like you go out and you do your show, and you create your show, and you write your play, and you sit at home and you think about those things, you think about those characters, I do the same thing with the things that I create.
Mm-hmm.
I think about what I want this show to feel like, what I want to have happen, what I want people to feel. I'm all about feeling. I feel so deeply. I want people to feel something mm-hmm. when they listen to this show. I don't like just showing up and like, and winging it. And mm-hmm. I do that often just simply because of, I feel that, I feel as though that I have, there's just a lot, I don't know. There's a lot of elements into that. But I hate coming into the show and winging it. I want to be able to curate, better quality content, for people mm-hmm. to learn about this industry. And I'm so thankful for everyone that listens in, and I just got a DM message from someone that I've actually met at your show at Williamstown mm-hmm. That wants to intern for Off Book, and maybe that might help us
come
to,
through.
Yeah, to do something different, because we've had several.
We love a competent and capable intern.
Yeah, we
come
do.
Through.
And not saying that they haven't been.
Mm-hmm.
Just that I think that's what like the people that I think that's what sort of. That's what boggles my mind is the value of mm-hmm. this platform. How there are so many people that say that, and I've said this more consistently too. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's the energy that I bring into the room. While I'm consistently disappointed, and I've had people say that they didn't want to work with me because they didn't want to disappoint me.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also funny too. It's like, but if you're not disappointing yourself, uh-huh. you disappoint me. And so it's just about the value of how people view and operate in and work with Black platforms. And maybe it's how I value it, how I respect it. And if I don't respect it, but then, I think it might have a lot to do. And that's what gets me down. I think it has a lot mm-hmm. to do with me. It has nothing to do with anybody else. It's like, people aren't respecting me because I haven't respected myself. People aren't respecting my platform because I have not respected it, because I've been out of my mental health. Mm-hmm. I have not been mentally healthy in order to invest as much as I would like to, or do more for what it is that I do. And I have to keep forgiving myself over and over again because I'm not done mm-hmm. healing on the inside. And mm-hmm. so that makes it difficult for me to show up and be that Broadway nigga. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? I want to be that Broadway nigga.
Yes,
for
that
all
Broadway
the time.
Nigga. Come on, bio. Come on, bio.
I want to be that Broadway nigga for you all the time. Like, I really do. I would love to. Which is another thing why I haven't done merchandise, because I don't want the responsibility mm-hmm. of taking people's coins and merchandise. Because uh-huh. if you try to cuss me out about a size medium, you know what I'm saying, that came and you wanted a small, or you wanted a large or something, like, I'm gonna cuss you out. I don't want the responsibility. I don't
want
to be accountable.
I don't want the responsibility to have to curse your ass out.
Right.
Nigga.
I don't want to do it. And so that's why I'm trying to heal emotionally, so that I can show up and respect mm-hmm. my business, so that people will respect it as well. Mm-hmm. And it's that's a devastating place to be, in trying to continuously show up when you don't feel like you're showing up for yourself. And so I'm just trying to forgive myself, I think. A lot mm-hmm. of a lot of what I'm talking about is forgiveness for myself, so that I can try to show up and do it again. But some days I just be like, I don't feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
And like knowing that is going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. Like even when you get to the most ideal space for yourself, like, there will still be moments, and like, not me trying to speak anything like over you, just knowing that there still will be moments when you will still have to make the choice of like forgiving yourself, right? Where you will still have to make the choice of being soft with yourself. And it is like, it is a muscle. It is a muscle that we will be exercising every single day for the rest of our lives. And like, I can only speak with so much clarity about it because you are talking to a motherfucker who has two times tried to commit suicide because life just felt so incredibly hard. You are talking to somebody who every single day makes the decision to be soft with themselves, because every single day it is easy to be hard with myself. And so I'm saying that it will be a choice of, I will choose me in this moment. I will choose to be soft with myself. I will choose to forgive myself, as Drew was talking about. And also, like you were talking about, Drew, it really is easier said than done. Like, it is easier said than done. Because, like, wouldn't we just love to just say, oh, I'm going to be soft with myself today. Oh, I forgive myself. And for the rest of the day, we just navigate being forgiven and being soft. Mm-hmm. But motherfuckers will come and they will try it time and time again. And we will try ourselves time and time again. And I think, like, that's what is so important for me, Drew, about, like, what you talked about is allowing ourselves to dictate how we navigate the world, not letting anybody else, like, dictate how we perceive ourselves and how we navigate the world, but, like, allowing ourselves. I was watching something on, like, Instagram. You know how IG do the, like, IGTV now. So I was watching some, like, IGTV thing, and it was this Indian man, and he was talking about how no one can dictate how we feel. Like, that is our that is ours. Like, that belongs to us, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you and I can be in a completely heated argument, right? And at the end of that argument, I can walk away still with having so much joy, right? Because you, even though, again, it goes back to, it sounds much easier than actually applying it, but, like, not giving someone the opportunity to kind of shift and change what your emotional space is, especially using you, Drew, especially somebody who has such a strong, invisible platform with Broadway Black, with Off
Book. I don't
book,
be feeling that way. People right? be saying, I just don't feel that way.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing.
I don't feel
you
like...
are entitled to feel that way. You are 100% entitled to feel that way. I am 100% entitled to feel like you have a strong-ass platform. And so with you... And my entitlement of saying that you have a strong platform with Off Book and with Broadway Black, like, there will be motherfuckers who will come and who will test you every single chance. And, like, the test doesn't look like somebody coming up to you and saying, nigga, I'm testing you, I'm testing you, I'm testing you. The test can look like somebody sending you a text message saying such and such won't be coming on the show. And then you taking that, and how do you allow that to affect you, right? Do you allow that to make you go into, like, a deeper, darker space, or do you allow that to be like, you know what? It is what it is. I'm going to continue to do whatever I need to do because that's that person. And again, it is something easier said than done, but it is, like, how do we allow people, or rather, do we allow people to shift what's going on inside of here? Because outside is something totally different that we cannot control. But what's going on inside here, and I'm pointing to my heart right now, what's going on inside here, nobody can control if we do not give them the power to. And again, this is something easier said than
it's just,
done.
But it's a lot
and it requires a lot.
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with that I've discovered is ego. It has a lot to do with ego work that we have to do within ourselves.
That's so real. And I remember you did a post about that.
Yeah,
a while ago.
It's really been it's really been weighing on me because I feel offended or I feel a certain way because my ego has been attacked. And trying to get past that is like a boulder. You know what I mean? Like, trying to move past your, and you don't even realize it sometimes, but, like, you're most likely offended or most likely feel a way about certain things because of your ego. And it's just trying to be smart about it, like, and heal. That's really all I can do. But some days are better than others.
It's this I read at the beginning of this year this amazing book called The Seat of the Soul by Gary Zukav. And the book talked about multiple things, but I'm bringing it up to point out what you were talking about. He talked about there are, like, two things that we navigate with in the world. It's our ego and it's the soul. right? The mm-hmm. ego is all things negative. The soul is all things positive. And he was saying, like, our work in life is to get ourselves to a point of purely, solely operating out of our soul and not the ego. And again, like, that's the, like, that's the hard work, because, like, we've just been so conditioned to exist in that space, right? Like, mm-hmm. when someone says something, when someone does something to us, like, how can it not either, like, big up the ego, or, like, how can it not tear the ego down, and, right, tear it apart? And, like, that is the hard work as well, because yeah. it's so natural. Like for me, as for example, I was talking to Brandon about this when we were doing auditions for my show. Some casting directors do this thing where they will let you know, well, all casting directors do this thing of, like, letting you know everybody who was coming into audition. And then some do this thing where at the very bottom, it lets you know everybody who passed on the show. And it'll let you know why people passed on the show. So naturally, me, especially if it's like a play, like all of my plays that I worked so hard on that mean so much to me, I'm seeing everybody who's coming in, and then I'm seeing everybody who decided not to come in and why they don't want to come in, right? Whether it's because, oh, they don't get the material, they don't like the play, blah, whatever the case may be, right? And like, that was a moment for me where, and I bring this up, like, because like, it literally, like, but that was ego. And like,
yeah, because I would be offended.
Like, I could be 100% justified.
Like, 100%, bitch, how dare you not want to come up for my fucking justified. Show? And I know the reason too.
And,
hell nah.
And that was the space I was in for like a good few
like,
hours.
Not that you're not available, but if I see you in public, you're probably gonna be faking my face.
For like a good few hours,
you know,
I
no,
was
for
in
real, the, diet, I, like, you gotta tell me who
no,
was on that.
No, seriously,
list.
I will off air of off book. But like, I was like in that space of like really hurt.
Yeah.
But then I had to do the work of this is my ego right now. Mm-hmm. Like, this is my ego right now. Their reasons for not want to come and just to audition for my show has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with my work. It has everything to do with them. And like, that's why I talk about like the work and how hard it is, though.
Yeah,
it's not
going to
be easy.
Though.
Niggas do be fake, and that has nothing to do with me. They right. fakeness has nothing to do with my real ass. It literally has nothing to do with me. But again, like, that's the work. And like, I'm saying this right now, and literally the next moment I could be like, fuck all these fake ass niggas. Like, it literally can be a moment-to-moment thing, though. But, like, that's the thing that, like, I'm talking about. It's, like, giving ourselves grace and permission to allow ourselves to navigate through the moment-to-moment-to-motherfucking-moment. You feel me, though?
I feel you.
But what?
I want to know.
I know you want to know, nigga. I know you want to know.
But, you know, I'm still working on it. So this is the post that you were talking about that I posted the other day. It's the ego's favorite stories. One, I am not worthy. The ego's favorite stories is two, things aren't happening quickly enough. Three, other people are better than me. Things will always be better when I have X, always something outside of self. Criticism of me is fact. Someone owes me. There's no point in trying. Other people are holding me back. All of these excuses are coming from your ego. Our ego creates much of our own suffering. We aren't aware of this because we don't practice consciously observing ourselves. So we externalize and blame. We put ourselves into spaces where it's us keeping ourselves small. There's a misunderstanding that the ego is bravado, but the ego is simply our avatar. It's the eternal internalized identity created to cope with our life experience. The ego was anything after I. It's a part of our psyche which seeks to protect us from situations where we've been hurt in the past. The ego is a constant storyteller. In our earliest years, we were fed narratives about who we are. Mm-hmm. These narratives hold us back from who we actually are. Infinite possibility beyond conditioning. Ego work has been life-changing for me. The more we can witness our ego with humility and compassion, the less power it holds. When the ego starts seeking to compare our rush or attempt to keep us from showing up the spiritual work is to accept. Our ego cannot control us if we meet it. The work is to make a conscious choice beyond what the ego is feeding us. The work is to show up to receive.
And that's real.
Yeah.
That's 100% real. And the getcha gotcha for me is a lot of that shit can be true in terms of talking about the ego sounds like this person doesn't like me. The ego is saying this person doesn't want to work with me. Mm-hmm. Like, that can very much be real. This motherfucker may not like you at all. Don't fuck with you whatsoever. This person don't want to work with you at all. Mm-hmm. And that can be very real. But also, again, like, that has nothing to do with you. And like, but that's the getcha gotcha right. of it all.
Because it feels like it does.
It feels like it does. Because yeah, the ego is telling it's very you. Real, yeah. right?
And people have such a negative connotation with the word ego. Like, people get offended if you say, oh, your ego is showing. Like, or, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, if you, whoa, check your ego. Like, even just people reading that to themselves, they feel like, wait, mm-hmm. I don't have an ego, you know, and that's your ego talking. Mm-hmm. You do have an ego.
Shut the fuck up, ego.
You do got one.
With you and your big ego.
Yeah, so I even tried
to. But for Beyonce, big ego meant big dick, but go ahead. You know I had to take it there.
Oh, my God. Even though, you know, and that's why I try to check myself, because even when I become frustrated with even just the dealings of this show, because, mm-hmm. Yeah, just like even become frustrated with just the dealings of this show, I have to check myself. Well, maybe, you know, it's me. Maybe I need to check myself. I need to first figure out what it is that I'm feeling,
mm-hmm.
feel that.
That's the work.
And then figure out how not to feel it no more.
That's the work.
And what can I mm-hmm. do? Because I can't control anybody else. I can't, like, you know what I'm saying? And like, oh, I don't know. That's just be like, I'm just so used to being like, I'm going to beat your ass if you don't do this.
Come on, Indiana boy, you ready to beat somebody's ass.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
but but so like, here is also the thing, right? Like, we talked about this in terms of why, like, some people decide to like pay the show complete dust and like not want to be a guest. Even when they say that they will be a guest, right? It very well could be like what is real with like a lot of motherfuckers who we know and who like we reach out to sometimes. People become booked and blessed. And
yeah, but
like,
that ain't always
but,
the
but
case
hold because, on, no, I'm not done. Not, I'm not done, right? Okay. Like talking about like motherfuckers really can be booked and blessed. That's one thing, right? And then the other thing is motherfuckers just may not see it for the show whatsoever.
Then say
and
that. Like,
but the thing is, what I'm saying is like when those people
here, like,
don't see
me...
it for the show. But oh. but the thing is like I hear you, and I'm going to sound like a broken record again, like that has nothing to do with you. And if they decide not to say that, if they want to give a whole elaborate ass lie about it, then that's their prerogative. That has nothing to do with you. And the thing that makes it
well,
so
I'm gonna
frustrating
go about it in a different way
and the thing that makes it like
nowadays,
so like muddy is like now you have to do extra work of using discernment of is this person telling the truth or is this person lying? And like that's
because
the thing
know,
that makes
I'm
so frustrating.
And that's the thing, like, okay, so I don't ever want to ask you again to be on the show. I don't ever want to ask you because that's
and that's your prerogative.
That's Donye.
I'm listening. Go ahead.
My thing is that nobody is forcing anyone to come here.
Mm-hmm.
No one is forcing anybody to be a part of this platform. However, if you're going to confirm. I think my annoyance comes in the fact that if we were a white institution or a white mm-hmm. platform, that black artists would jump at mm-hmm. the chance to be at these mics. They would make it happen. It would not be an excuse. It wouldn't be, oh, mm-hmm. I have to do this. If somebody got the opportunity to host a show, a podcast on Broadway.com or Playbill.com, mm-hmm.
They would jump.
And jump every week
mm-hmm.
if they got the chance to host or be a part of or be a guest on, because to them that's press and publicity.
I agree to that wholeheartedly.
And they would do it for free.
Mm-hmm.
Like, full on, for mm-hmm. free, without even thinking about it. Like, oh, I have to do this. It doesn't matter if people had guests coming to town. It doesn't matter if, you know what I'm saying, like, oh, I just don't feel like it today, or oh, I can't, you know, there would be... literally no excuses, because you would not want to disappoint these white people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why, because I'm black and I'm relaxed. Like I'm real chill about it. Like I'm real chill. Like I want the audience to feel that you want to be here. And I want to make people comfortable. So I'm real chill when it comes to this show. Like I want it to be an open platform. And maybe I am too chill. Maybe, and that's why I start to think like, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm not professional enough. Maybe I'm not, you know, white enough in my business ethic to get people to confirm.
White enough in my business ethic.
Like, to get people to confirm and do what they say they're going to do.
Uh-huh.
But I don't want to change who the fuck I am to make you respect me and the platform that I have. Why I got to be somebody that I'm not for you to respect me and what it is that I'm doing and the work that I'm doing. When there are, time and time again, there are people that are being influenced by the work that I'm doing, and you know it, that are the people are, the people's lives are being changed, and we want to add your voice to it.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody came in and told me that there are black theater actors and theater artists out there that want to be influenced, that want to hear from you, like, we're literally telling you, these people ask for you specifically. They want you here. These black people need to hear your voice and your experience. They want to see you here. We're inviting you to come sit at the table with us. Please come. It's one thing where, you know, oh, I'm booked during this show. I can't make it. I would love to. You know what I'm saying? We've had that happen. But more often than not, it is, oh, yeah, I'm going to do it. And then the day come, oh, the night before, like, oh, I can't make it. Like, oh, I forgot I'm going to the beach. I told my friends I would go to the beach with them. And this is like, what? What? Like, but see, I'm wrong if I, you know what I'm saying, snap off on you. Like, I'm wrong, and I'm wrong. I'm wrong for snapping off, because it's more about my ego and you canceling on me than it is about anything else. And it's also about, you know what I'm saying, disappointing. I feel like because you canceled, now I'm disappointing that I didn't do my work. Like, I'm disappointing my audience. I didn't do what it is that I was supposed to do. And so, like, I don't know. It's just it's disheartening.
No, it's real. And here's the thing. Everything you just said is 100% valid. Everything you just said is 100% real. And then it becomes like, after you having that moment, after you, like you said, like sitting in it, unpacking, like, why am I feeling this way? Like, what does this mean? And then is, what are you going to do next? Like, what are you going to do next?
What's the solution?
Are you going to decide to continue reaching out to these people? Or are you going to say, you know what? That's not the energy that I need on this show. And so I bring her up because, one, she is somebody that I admire. And then also I bring her up knowing that she is at a level that makes things incredibly easy for her with what I'm about to say. But I remember, I think about like Oprah, and I think about like, I love watching her. Like, I more so enjoy watching behind the scenes shit than I actually do watching the actual thing. So I remember watching the like behind the scenes of her like farewell season. And I remember her talking about, well, two things come to mind. Like, one, she talked about with her producers, the first thing that she would have every single producer share whenever they would come with the show.
Is what? My mic on?
Yeah.
Do his mic sound nice?
Yeah, your mic sounds very nice.
Okay, check one, check two.
I can't hear. And ain't no, what's down here?
That's me. Don't worry about that.
Oh, okay.
And I'll fix that.
Okay.
Nigga, mind your business and talk.
Okay, go ahead.
Mind your business and talk. And so she was talking about whenever her producers come to her with an idea for a show, one of the very first things, well, not one of the very first, the first thing that they have to specify is, what is the intent for the show? Like, what do they intend to put into the world with the show? And like, I just always thought about like how important, just as naturally as like a writer, how important like intention is. And then also like the impact of whatever that intent is. But what made me bring her up is that she was also talking about, even for her, she said, motherfuckers cancel on her. Like, even for Oprah motherfucking Winfrey, people have canceled on her for like whatever the reasons may be. And of course, she's Oprah, so she's able to be in this point of,
well, she got 2-3 guests that running.
Exactly. And like, then to like
to
not allow that to like get into her like ego, to just move away from that. And then also knowing that that has nothing to do with her and like everything to do with them. And then even sometimes it can have everything to do with her as well. But like, her being like in a point of like not allowing that to truly affect her. And like, I gave the caveat of it being Oprah motherfucker. Fucking Winfrey, a fucking billionaire who got so many people on her team, so it is easier for her to like let the shit go. But like, at the end of the day, what what is the same about you, me, Oprah, all of us is ego and soul. She still got an ego. She still got a soul. And it's about making the choice, because we all have discernment. We are able to make the choice of like, how are we going to navigate? Are we going to allow our ego to affect us in this moment? Or are we going to allow our soul to affect us in this moment? And then sometimes this takes work, and it takes life's experiences for us to be able to get to a point of when shit happens to be able to say, you know what, I've been through this before, and I'm not going to go down that path. I'm actually going to go down this path. And so it's when this shit happens, now talking about off book, when we have guests lined up and the guests say, you know what, I'm going to do it. And then the guest decides not to do it. And let's just make it a grimy ass reason, because you know what? They actually, somebody told them, don't fuck with that show. That show ain't shit. I don't want you to be on that show. Let's use that as an example. And they make the decision not to be on the show for that reason. And then how do we navigate through that? Yes, we have every right to feel what we feel. And then we move on. And how do we move on? Not fucking with that person anymore, right? Or do we say, you know what, I'm actually going to try again because maybe this person is going to be different. It's like, how do we decide to navigate through that? And it's all, again, about like choice and like, what does that choice look like?
I'm just going to have to start being white.
Nigga.
Like with my business practices, I'm just going to have to start being white. Like quadruple confirming, putting on your calendar, making sure I send you an email, send you a text message the night before, and send you a card to come pick you up. And
but then it's like, now you just tried it with picking up with a car to pick you up. But when you talked about like multiple emails and like confirmation, like is that white though? Like is that like a white practice? To be like thorough in that way about your shit?
I shouldn't necessarily say white, and it's not because it's not that we're not thorough. But it's like I don't know if what else, like maybe I have to word it differently. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because it's not that we haven't confirmed. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, and when I'm saying white, maybe I have to like literally formally type up and say, these are the expectations. Mm-hmm. These are, instead of just verbalizing or texting to you, like being lax with it. Maybe we're a little bit too lax in our delivery and mm-hmm. in our communication style. Because mm-hmm. we triple confirm. We confirm with people. Mm-hmm. So it's not that. And I should say white. Maybe I should say that I have to go about it differently. But to me, in a way, it's white. Mm-hmm. Because that is like, that's a separate, like, it's a institutional response instead of mm-hmm. a personal response. We've been personal with people. Mm-hmm. We have to go, almost have to go institutionalized, where it's like almost like it's a separation to where it's no longer personal. This is business now, but I don't like treating people like it's mm-hmm. business, but maybe I have to start treating them like it's business until we get them into the personal space. Mm-hmm.
Look, I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I do not think there's anything wrong with
maybe I've been too laxed mm-hmm. in trying to present myself and be personal with people. I've been trying to build community by being mm-hmm. personal, but you're not being receptive to the personal community. Now I think it's more about maybe my mind is I'm going about it. I'm just talking out loud now, because maybe I've been going about it wrong all this time. All this time I've been trying to build community by being personable mm-hmm. and being authentic and real. And I can still do that, but maybe I need to do that in a business way to mm-hmm. where I can separate. But then also, I don't know if people will adapt to or attach to my business mentality, because I'm cut off in a way. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I don't. Like what you mean?
I don't like. It's difficult for me because I'm such a feelings person. Mm-hmm. We talk about that all the time. That I feel so deeply that it's difficult for me to mm-hmm. conduct business without feeling. Mm-hmm. And
I thought you was gonna go like this again when you said feeling. I wish y'all would have, like, every time he said the word feeling, he started hugging himself.
I'm hugging myself like a gospel album, y'all. You gotta be on the front cover.
And that's when you know it's gonna be a fire album.
Right.
But go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I forgot what I was talking about, but you know what I'm trying to say.
And so, Chris, I want to bring you into this. So I'm curious. So we're talking to Chris right now, who is a bomb-ass engineer for multiple podcasts, actually. Mm. So I'm curious if and whatever you can share with the other podcasts that you work with, if they have guests or like whatever the case may be, do like they go through shit like this?
Yeah, all the time. But mm-hmm. it really depends on the show. I know for sure this happens with the podcast that I do at Rock Nation mm-hmm. with, you know, Memphis Bleak and all them.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah, like sometimes these guests
Memphis
are like,
Bleak got a podcast?
Yeah, well, it's not just his. But
who
it's,
don't got a podcast, nigga?
No, no, like apparently in order for you to be an American citizen, you got to have a podcast. And then, no, honestly, and this is cool because I remember when podcasting, no shots, but I remember when podcasting was strictly like maybe six public figures had one back in like 2007, mm-hmm. 2008. But, yeah, so Bleak and...
For you to be an American citizen.
You got to have a podcast. Uh-huh. I'm about to start mine and like the fall.
Come shit, through.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody got a podcast.
Everybody
all the way
one.
Through.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But,
that's yeah, a rite of passage.
It always happens like with high-profile guests. Even some motherfuckers who are exclusively famous in like the five boroughs, mm-hmm. they feel like they may be too busy to stop by and they have high shit on their list of priorities, mm-hmm. which is cool. I respect it, but I've never really been a fan of having... a guest driven, like it works for y'all obviously because you know you're in the fucking business and mm-hmm. you got guests who could offer some insight,
right?
Fucking artists.
We try to, you know
yeah.
what I'm saying,
but
give them that platform.
My take on it is that the guests you really don't need y'all, especially y'all don't need guests.
Mm-hmm.
And it is.
Now, what makes you say that, Chris?
Because you motherfuckers are in the business. Y'all are doing this shit yourselves, and you're entertaining as fuck. Are you kidding me? And you have banter. You have an actual relationship.
With like everybody here?
I mean, look, whether it's the three of y'all. listen, whether it's the three of y'all, whether it's just the two of y'all, y'all can still hold this shit down. Like, podcasting is not TV. You don't have to have no fucking guests all the time.
Mm.
You don't. And when you do, and it's fucking lit when you do, too, because you got a good selection of guests.
Yeah, I feel what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I would love for it to be all three of us every week.
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the most ideal because the chemistry is the best when we're all here together.
I agree.
And I'd be hating to come in the studio with two new people like every week because I don't know what the dynamic is going to be. And it's not that I hate people. Mm-hmm. Like, I do not like people for real.
And it's normal. It's normal.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. I mean, I want the voices to be heard, but also it's nerve-wracking for me to come into a space and there's two people that I don't know, the dynamics that don't know me, and like, mm-hmm. oh, well, they probably going to walk out of here not liking me. So, you know what I'm saying? Because I might say something crazy or something off the wall.
You never know, yeah.
You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like, it's just be like, I'd be dreading that. Like, I can't take it. Like, I just hate it so much. Like, so it doesn't allow for, you know, good energy to mm-hmm. flow through the show.
And then that's when I think some of the, like, luckily, knock on wood, like, the people who I've reached out to, like, thus far, whenever I'm not here, like, and it has become like a running joke amongst the people that I've like reached out to. Whenever I like talk to them about the structure of the show, when I ask them to like do the show, they confirm. I share like what the structure of the show is. I give them like multiple episodes as like reference points, so like they can be prepped when they like come here. They'd be like, "Nigga, I listen to the show. Like, I already know." Like, that is the most ideal situation,
yeah.
And like I bring that up to say like there are going to be times when like. We will reach out to people who may not have ever listened to the show whatsoever. And like, what then is like, and this is, I would imagine something for like off air, like what is our protocol so that like we can know, like if we do in the event get somebody who may not have heard the show before, like how can we make sure that like they're prepped and ready? Is it just, we hope that they listen to the show on their own so that when they come in here?
I think we should start conducting like through emails and have all of the shit that you listed, like we all have the same email that mm-hmm. we send or something, because something's got to give.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, mm-hmm. but we're gonna do better.
And then also, like,
we just talked about this too, and I just remembered again
what?
That Halloween is coming up.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh
yeah, in 2 months.
It's
yeah,
crazy.
So that means we have to have like a venue and shit for a Halloween party like ASAP.
Yeah,
child,
it's nuts.
Okay.
That's so deep. But I was going to say, just like what you were talking about, Chris, like I definitely take heed to, one, because like you work with so many podcasts and like so many like individuals. And then like I do agree, like we are all individuals who are like working. We have a chemistry, and it is the most ideal when like we are all here together. And then like what happens when like one of us won't be able to be here? Do we have to fill that seat to have it be a third person, or can it just be like the two who are here? I do get when like two people aren't here, then It could be a one person podcast, but that might be a little crazy.
No, it can't be no
so
one
then, like,
that could work.
No. Like,
that could work.
Like,
that could work.
Then,
no, I'm not sit up here
like,
to my
that could work. I'll
then
talk
us do, then us do being able to like have a guest in like that regard, but like figuring out like. Is it? Does it always have to be three chairs? Does it always have to be three voices? And like, if so, like
it don't. But it also, you know, we have to really take into account who we're asking to sit in the chair, because just because we have one person here doesn't mean that they can carry a conversation with just one other person. Like mm-hmm. sometimes the energy be so dry in here. My God, like
it happens.
It be so dry in here, like. I'd be grasping for straws, like trying to find anything to talk about. I mean, I just be saying that's why I be saying crazy shit, because I'd be like, oh, I gotta say something.
I gotta shake this shit up.
I gotta shake the table in this bitch, because and then it still be crickets. we about to dry up and crack and fall apart because it's so fucking woo dry in here.
I mean, you gotta figure out sit to shade. Just like when like Drew walked in here, he got like a Powerade bottom, and I said Powerade for a power bottom.
He got the joke out. He couldn't even say the joke because he already had got to the bottom part first. Power bottom, he went to say bottle, but he was so excited to get to the bottom part that he could not even say it.
But no, why I'm laughing is because I wish y'all saw Drew's face. Drew's face looked like, you better not say it out loud.
This motherfucker.
And Chris, you better not bleep that out.
I don't give a fuck what you're talking about, because I got everything to do with you and not me. You're the power bottom. Oh. Not me. That's your ego speaking.
Come through. Y'all, I taught him well. Come through.
That don't have nothing to do with me.
You thought that was so good how you turned that around. You thought that was so good how you turned that around.
I'm proud of myself, boy. I'm doing the work.
Well, my stomach got hurt.
I'm doing the work.
Amen. Amen. Man, you a king.
Yes, listen, man, there's nothing wrong with being a bottom. All my bottoms, I love y'all. Y'all know where to find me.
This nigga wear me out.
I'll wear you out just like a warrior. Okay.
I can't. Oh, Lord have mercy.
Yes, my God.
Whew.
Okay.
Here we are.
We are here.
You broke a sweat.
Got that. Yeah, because that was funny. I'm glad we got that out. I mean, I was not feeling well. I mean, this was a therapy session.
Come through.
And I got to voice your video message to you. Video message.
Oh, yay. I'm glad.
I just wasn't feeling like talking.
That's real. I figured that. No, I figured that.
I wasn't feeling like it. Yeah. Well, we about to be out.
We came.
I'm ready to go.
We talked. We conquered.
Yeah, and then I just want to talk to you. We can just talk for a half hour.
We did exactly what we were supposed to do for this episode.
Let's chill.
Come through.
Yeah.
Let's chill.
Thank you, Chris.
Man, listen.
And settle down.
So, yeah, Donnie and I will be here for the next 2 weeks.
Just me and you. Let's chill. And
I can't tell he mean how to sing it right now. Because he can hear himself in these headphones. Because he can hear himself in these headphones. So he was in the studio. Oh,
shout out to God. Shout out to God. Guy's greatest hits.
Come through.
Hilarious. I wonder, can you record a song in here?
You know what? If I clean up that nasty ass closet, yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
It's a
booth mic in there.
That's adequate size.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying I want to curate this show better, because I want to have like musical guests. Like when Kayla came in and sang that week. Which
Yeah.
I think that's my favorite thing
that's
ever happened on this episode, like on the show. Like
when she was in here singing?
She just impromptu sing. Did you hear?
This was when Tim was on it, right?
Yeah. She just impromptu started singing. Like, you know, I just asked, I want to hear you sing a little bit. She had the track, and so I held the track up to the microphone and she was just singing. When I tell you, like,
she was like, y'all ain't gonna have me off key.
I've gone back and listened to that so many times.
Come through.
Like, I'm amazed at how she just dropped in, and like her voice is so beautiful. And like, I just want to do more of that, and like give people the opportunity to come in and just like me, not everybody. You know, people be like, some people be crazy. But yeah, I want to set that up and like get people to come in and just like sing some shit. Like,
let's get
some authentic and. Some nicely curated content for
come through. We got a studio.
We do. I mean, he said once they clean it
up. Well, a booth.
Right. But yeah. Okay. I mean, this. I feel better. I can go into this next week and attempt to do better. But like, tell me who your guest gonna be so I can.
I got you. You already know.
God. Oh my God. Okay. Well, we love y'all. We want to hear from you. Please email us offbook@broadwayblack.com. All your listener letters, you know what I'm saying, what's going on with you, situations we can talk about. Send us in your ideas and your opinions. We want to know all of that good shit. How would you like to see the show progress, and what would you like to hear? Who would you like to hear from? And, you know what I'm saying, tell the people. Like, you got to tweet them and at them and tell them, hey, we want you on Off Book.
Oh, yeah, please do that.
because people, like, don't be believing us, I guess, when we tell them that people want them on the show. So, like, well, bitch, I'm not going to beg you. They're going to beg you, bitch. I'm not.
Yes, y'all, do that. Literally, like, do that, like, at these people. At these people. And say we want y'all on Off Book.
Right, because, bitch, I don't give a fuck. Just playing. I do give a fuck. That's why my feelings be hurt. I do give a fuck. Okay, I lied.
You are a key. A bona fide key.
All right, y'all. Tune in next week for a brand new episode. We hit our marks. We done. We out, bitches. Bye.
Peace out, my niggas. I love y'all.
Nah, I don't got nothing to say. Bye. I'm kidding.
Peace out. Bye, y'all.
Deuces, y'all.
Comes to the studio tonight. He's skipping y'all two and going straight for the handshake with me if I'm apart from y'all.
Uh-huh.
He see me mobbed up with y'all, he's skipping us.
Wow.
That's the way it is.
Him
and like all of these other rappers, all of these niggas will skip right past us if we chilling.
How did I not know that?
Because they all insecure, probably closeted.
That part is for real. Well, I did not know this about Busta.
Allegedly,
Rhymes.
Because
all you rappers is no, he's not. He's not.
All y'all rappers is sissy girls. Every single one of y'all want to rap about Dicky Dack. What the fuck is Dicky Dack? What is Dicky Dack?
I don't know.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.